welcome to another Directions Magazine podcast. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. Today, I and Executive Editor Adina Schitzberg spoke with Vince Donoto, the new director for the Geospatial Technology Center of Excellence, otherwise known as the Geotech Center. The Geotech Center recently had their National Science Foundation grant renewed for 3 years. The center was originally located at Del Mar College in Corpus Christi, Texas, but will now be hosted at the Jefferson Community and Technical College in Louisville, Kentucky. We spoke with Donoto about how going forward the Geotech Center intends to impact curriculum development at two-year institutions that offer geospatial technology education and the challenges facing these colleges that are seemingly always boxed in by budgets. We hope you enjoy the interview. Well, Vince, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us about the Geotech Center and the refunding through the National Science Foundation. During the intervening year between when NSF was funding the effort, have the principals reevaluated the Geotech Center's objectives and mission, and maybe more to the point, how will you define success this time around and therefore measure it?
Well, during this past year, we've been in what's known as a no-cost extension. And as being part of a no-cost extension, we still had some money from the original grant. So we were still able to do some things, obviously not at the same level that we were doing it when the center was fully funded. So we found out that we were going to be refunded around June 6th, and the official start date was June 15th. So the new center has 5 goals associated with it, and these goals work in such a way that they try to develop a complete look at GIS. So where in the first center we were mainly concerning ourselves with numbers, now we're looking more at pedagogy and making sure that we have the right technologies for the people to be able to do things with. So the 5 goals center around developing a community of practice, which is in the first goal. And that goal will be led by Ken Yanow at Southwestern College in San Diego. And that goal basically is developing a community of practice. A national advisory committee are some of the activities that goal will be working on. We'll look at two-year colleges and understand that two-year colleges don't really have an organization right now where they fit, but we also understand that we need to have government leaders as part of this community of practice, that we need to have the business people as part of this community of practice. So it will not be just fully educators, but that's going to be the first goal, is this focus on a community of practice and getting that all developed. The second goal of the center will be working towards making sure that we have full classes available to people who want to be teaching the curriculum. But before we can actually develop the classes, we need to ensure that the GTCM is still valid. And so we are going to go through a reevaluation of the GTCM and making sure that all the points in it are still valid. If they're not, they will be removed. If there's new points that need to be in there, we will add new points. To get to that point, we will be doing a DACM. From that DACM, then we will get together a panel that will look at the GTCM and make sure that everything still fits in place. Then we can just start developing full blown out courses, full curriculum in a very rich and dynamic mannerism. So that goal will be led by Ann Johnson. We realize if we have developed these materials, we also need to provide professional development. And the professional development will both be from a pedagogical standpoint as well as a technology standpoint. I'm not trying necessarily to teach to any specific platform, but to teach people how to do geospatial type analysis. So we will have a whole area of professional development, which will include mentoring, where we'd like to mentor lots of faculty members across the country, and they will be assigned a mentor. So the mentees will have a mentor that will help them develop programs, expand programs, revise programs, whatever is needed for that local institution. So there will be this whole mentoring process that we will be doing, and I will be leading that goal. The fourth goal of the center is a goal that is going to look at data warehousing as well as curriculum warehousing. We realize all the materials that we develop need to be easily accessible to the geospatial educational community, specifically at the two-year college level. And so we'll have a whole goal that is based upon these type of factors. And Chris Samurgeon will be leading that effort. The fifth goal will be led by Rodney Jackson, which will be looking at student services, articulations, how do we move students through the process? What are those underrepresented populations? What are we not giving people credit for, such as military people who come to our colleges? Do we give them credit for what they already know from a geospatial standpoint? So this fifth goal is looking at student services, making sure that we are meeting the needs of the student populations. Again, as a national center, we're setting up models for people to be able to implement, even though we'll probably implement them at most of our own colleges. It's really more model building for other people to use more than what we're trying to do at an individual institution right now.
So it sounds like a lot of these are really sort of natural follow-ons to what came before, which makes a lot of sense. I want to jump to that fifth goal where you talked about student services and articulation agreements and getting people credit. There's a lot of interest, I know, in competency-based learning, where if you prove that you know something, that you can get credit for it. Is that something you're going to look at?
Well, that's part of what we're looking at. If you go back and look at the GTCM is all based upon competencies. So as we go through our looking here is, if you have that competency, why should we make you relearn that competency and take up valuable time that's slowing your progression towards either additional education or to the workforce? So we want to make sure that we give credit on both sides of the story. One side giving credit for those in the secondary environment that are coming to us, or those who are coming from the workforce coming to us for education, but also on the other side of articulation, where with what we do, don't make the person repeat it when they enroll into a four-year institution. So it's a matter of streamlining the educational process. As part of this competency-based area, we're looking at badges, and badges are basically small snaggets of information that show a competency. So when a person has a certain competency, some way we need to have that on a transcript, if you will, so that person can use that as they move down the pipeline, that they can show that they have this expertise. Because not only is reading a course description or reading the title of a course really tells you what the person knows. So there's a way of giving credentials to someone before they actually finish a certificate or even an individual class, we believe that's going to be very, very useful to the future employees.
Right. Now, is that something that the Geotech Center is going to be able to create, such that, for example, I could go online and take some tests or show some proficiencies and earn those badges?
We don't see the center as being a testing agency. We see that as being left up to the educational institutions as testing agencies. But hopefully we can develop a framework of credentials using the GTCM as the model, look at those competencies in the GTCM, using that as a model to then develop these badges, and then let colleges adopt these badges so that the colleges can use these badges as ways of proving to future employers that these people have certain credentials. It's sort of like another type of a transcript. It's between a transcript and a portfolio is the way I would describe it.
I guess I'm trying to figure out if all of these schools are going to have the resources to create processes to award those badges, or if it just makes a lot more sense for example, one school to do it and provide that as a service to all the other schools.
And that may be the way that it flows out. This has been explored in the educational system for several years. Some people, like my institution, does fractional credit. So you can take a regular course, for example, that might be a 4-credit-hour class and break it up into 8 modules, and each module being a half a credit. That's similar to the badge approach. So again, the center is not a transcript provider. It is not meant to be a dictatorial type situation to other educational institutions. It's setting up models that these institutions hopefully can follow. And maybe it will evolve out of this community of practice, may decide that they want to develop this system and let other institutions use this system. And that is sort of the free flow of a center like ours, is that we want people beyond the PIs, the co-PIs, the senior team members, integrally involved in what we do, so they have ownership to what we do. And that may be one of the things that comes out of the community of practice, is they set up these badges in a way of evaluating these badges. That's not decided at this point how it will all be implemented, but we believe it's a concept that is needed.
Right. Well, let's go back to that community of practice idea, and it sounds like that's going to be one of the key places where the center does outreach to the folks in the field who are doing the teaching in these teaching and learning organizations. And I guess one of the challenges I've seen is for the Geotech Center to sort of communicate to all the potential people who could take advantage of what it has, its resources, to let them know what's available and to let them know how they can be involved. Is that what the community of practices is in part going to do?
Well, yes, I think you're exactly right. Part of what the center is going to do is we are going to have professional development conferences. We've been doing some conferences in the previous center, one here at Jefferson, one at Southwestern. Those will continue, but we'll look more at being more regionally focused instead of just maybe a single state focused as they've been, even though both of the conferences have had people from out of their states attending on an annual basis. Then we'll have a third conference, which will be at Georgia Tech in Atlanta, Spatial Plexus, where we will, again, be bringing a community of people together. But it's giving people time to network. It's giving them a structure to try to network within. It's a matter of doing a lot of communications, really blasting things out for the two-year colleges, because typically a two-year college faculty member is the only person in that specific technology at their institution. So they don't really have peers in which they can bounce ideas off of, that they can just walk down the hall to somebody else's office and bounce an idea about the technology to them. And so this is developing a peer network in some ways so that they do know what's going on in the community, also bringing in the people who are the users in their community and get this whole group somehow together in which they can all be talking in the same language and things. And there's not an organization right now that really caters just to the two-year college faculty member, which in many ways are very different than what we might find as a four-year institution or a graduate institution. So that's the hope, is that we will develop lines of communication. We will start these communication lines, but we truly hope that these communication lines will go way beyond where we're at, and will be one of those sustainability items that we can look down the future at, and hopefully that they'll be self-sustaining, either as a professional organization or as an association of some type.
Hey, Vince, a lot of work in the previous Geotech Center focused around developing model courses, model curriculum. Do you now go back to complete the work of developing each of those, the curriculums or the course levels, or are you taking time first to reevaluate, as you said, the GTCM, and then go back to developing more of the model courses? What's your approach?
Well, let me go back. First of all, the GTCM, when it was developed, then we developed curricula outlines. We never really put all the meat to the bones, if you will. We developed outlines, we developed some rubrics, we developed a course title with a description, but we never really developed exactly what that faculty member should be teaching. Now, an experienced faculty member, an outline, topics, those and competencies, those are plenty for what an experienced faculty member needs. But again, for an inexperienced faculty member, that's not enough depth. We believe, because the GTCM has been around for 3-4 years, it's time to make sure that it is still completely valid, because we know that, for example, that GIS is moving much more into the cloud from being just on the desktop. And so we need to make sure that the courses that we've developed, the competencies in the GTCM, are all still valid. We plan on doing that relatively rapidly. We're basically already starting the gear up process to bring a DACOM panel together. We don't have a date and a location fully decided yet. It's still in the work process. We also have a thought of bringing a new group of people to make sure the GTCM is valid together. Again, we have some thinkings of where that will be, but we don't have an actual date yet scheduled for that either. But they will be in the fall, is our hopes, fall of this year. And so that very quickly we can determine what needs to be changed in our course outlines of the courses that were developed in the first go around of the center. And after we know what needs to be changed, we can make those changes rapidly and get actually into curriculum development very, very rapidly, not taking a year and a half to do this. We're talking about taking 6 months to make whatever modifications need to be made so that we can get very quickly into course actual development.
And is there any renewed interest in putting more emphasis on the marketing of the whole center. There were a tremendous amount of resources developed the first time around, but I never got the feeling, sitting in on the National Visiting Committee, that it got to the point where the resources were then promoted, that not every two-year institution that wanted to take advantage of it could. So if you could just speak to what's going to be different this time around and getting the word out about the center.
In the center's budget, there is a fairly large amount of money for dissemination of concepts. We are very much aware that we need to be where our faculty are. So we need to be attending those meetings that our faculty are attending. Part of getting this the word out is we have a larger national network than we had in the first go around. We have four co-principal investigators along with myself as principal investigator, but we also have a fairly large number of senior team members across the country. Another new item in this grant is we have a national advisory committee. It is different than the NVC. These are going to be technical people that's going to advise us on what we need to be doing, and not just from a programmable standpoint. So we're looking at this national advisory committee as meeting on a quarterly basis virtually and really giving us the right direction where we're going to be. But also by doing that, they're going to get us in states that we may not have a senior team member in, or we may not have a co-principal investigator in. And then we will have a national visiting committee, which will be a little bit smaller than the previous one. So we very much are aware that you can do all this great work, but if people don't know the work that you're doing, then you're really having problems there. We're working very, very diligently on how do we get the word out across the country that people know what we're doing. And it's not an easy job to do. And so doing things like this interview and having sent out press releases to organizations across the country, and still having other organizations that we're sending press releases out to, we realize we got to get the word out, and we got to get into the two-year college faculty members' hands to really make a definite impact. And that's our hopes, that we'll make a definite impact and be an entity that people can come to as they know more about ATE. And part of the problem is a lot of faculty members across the country just don't know about ATE in general. It's not knowing about the Geotech Center. They just really don't know about ATE in general. And I know that's one of the works that's going on with the National Science Foundation through a project called Mentor Connects, trying to connect a lot more people to know what ATE does, so they can be used to help other institutions and things. So yes, dissemination is important. Getting the word out is critically important. And we look for all kinds of suggestions to make this better.
Well, let's take the 2 seconds and make sure that all of our listeners know what ATE is and what it does.
Surely. ATE is a program under the National Science Foundation. ATE is Advanced Technology Education, which is a program that's authorized by Congress to specifically fund two-year technical programs, and they have different levels of funding. You have from new projects to large projects, which can go somewhere up to around $1 million over a three-year period of time, to regional centers, which are specifically designed for small areas of the country, to national centers, which have a national scope on a specific subject area. So right now, between national centers and national resource centers, which are really national centers after they've been around for a few years, they move into what's called a resource center. There are 39 of these across the country. These centers are everywhere from nanotechnology to IT to GIS to advanced manufacturing to automotive. These are all national centers that have a single focus, which are there to help faculty from across the country.
Now, one of the things that's going on around now is a revision of the GIS body of knowledge. And I was curious if that was going to have any bearing on what's going on with the GTCM or with the Geotech Center.
Yes, it will. I don't think I can tell you exactly how right now. We've been having some discussions with those organizations. But again, we've only been officially funded here at Jefferson for about the last 15 days. And so where that is exactly going, I can't really give you a direction on. But when we had our GeoEd conference here in Louisville during mid-June, that was definitely a discussion item that came up about the changes in the body of knowledge and how we will be part of it. We're hopeful that we'll have a seat at the table on that, but those decisions have not been made yet. I should also probably mention at this point, we're also working with the people who create certifications, such as the GISP, and hopefully we'll have people involved in either advisory roles or actually writing the questions for the test that is being proposed in that area.
Great. Yeah, you took the question right out of my mouth. That was my next issue about working with the GIS Certification Institute. And Vince, maybe if you could just address whether the grant allows you to explore other funding sources or strategic partnerships, for example, with the U.S. Geospatial Intelligence Foundation, their certification program for GEOINT programs. I don't know whether you've looked into anything like that, either as an additional funding mechanism or in coordination.
Very definitely there are additional funding mechanisms that we can look into. In fact, one of the goals of the National Science Foundation is centers like ours will eventually reach a point of sustainability, thus not needing funds from the National Science Foundation to continue their operation, or at least not maybe necessarily funds at the level that we're being funded at this moment with. So we are looking at different funding streams, both from the private sector as well as from other public sector funds. You mentioned the intelligent community. One of our senior team members is very involved in that, Michael Krimmer in the Washington, D.C. area. So we are definitely exploring other funding streams to make the center a viable entity as we move down the road. The center is right now funded for 3 additional years, and we're hopeful that as we move forward, we will have contracts with people, still being able to be a generalist, if you will, from the standpoint that we're not going to be owned by any professional organization, or are we going to be ran by a certain technology or a certain corporation, but we think we have lots of value-added information that we can bring into other communities. Another piece of that whole thing is to understand that STEM disciplines need GIS. And so we're looking at how do we cross those boundaries from being training GIS technicians to providing GIS knowledge and education to those in other STEM disciplines that definitely need this type of information.
I'd like to ask you about the state of the 2-year college with regard to geospatial. What do you think is working now that the center has been refunded, and where do you think the challenges still lie?
Well, let me start with the challenges. And this is maybe a little bit more my view and not necessarily definitively the view of the National Center. But one of the biggest challenges is getting students in the seats. Students don't recognize across the country the need for GIS, especially beyond a single course a lot of times. And so how do we get this knowledge out to the students? One of the ways to get the knowledge out to the students is through our secondary institutions to make sure that they are informing their students the needs for GIS and teaching some GIS, either using one of the major software packages or using things such as Google Earth and things like that to teach some very basic geospatial technology. So first of all is to get the word out that GIS is a viable community and is a viable need across multiple disciplines, because so many people who work in the geospatial community right now as technicians basically were trained in another area of technology and then chose to move into the geospatial area. Are their employers told them they need to move into the geospatial community, but they weren't traditionally trained as geospatial technicians. And again, that it's cutting across multiple disciplines and things. So I think that's a real challenge to 2-year schools. As schools are looking at accountability, they have to have so many graduates or so many people receiving certificates for the program to be viable. And yet there's a lot of schools that are putting out 2, 3, 5, 7 graduates a year. They're not putting out 10 to 15 graduates a year. So I think that's a real challenge for institutions. Another challenge that I see is the fact that with a single course in geospatial technology, with other technologies such as maybe information technology coupled with it, the person has now become more value added. They are much more hireable by people because of this geospatial knowledge and are getting jobs before they ever finish even a certificate program. And we have different length certificate programs in 2-year colleges, anywhere from 1 or 2 classes up to 24 credit hours of geospatial technology. knowledge to be able to be employable. So we need to make sure that we understand that area, that students who are leaving before they actually get credentials are still successes for that institution because they are employable with those skill sets, even though definitely we'd like them to have more education than just a single course. So those are real challenges out there, is how do you get the word out? There's some 1,200 community and technical colleges across the country. How do you get that word out that this is a viable thing that they need to be doing in their community, for everywhere from property value assessment to basic land management and so on and so forth? So getting that word out to the students as well as to the institutions is a critical factor for us to be fully successful.
Okay, you told me a lot of challenges, but there must be some things that are already working very well in the community colleges.
Well, yes, there is. I mean, you can look at programs that we have worked with from the first grant, that they have made changes to their curriculum. They've made changes to their curriculum and are now teaching stuff that we developed from the GTCM into our model courses. And students are coming out and getting very high-paying jobs out of those programs. We have new schools that are coming on board, one of the schools being Kaskaskia College, which is in South Central Illinois, and they're coming on board with a new geospatial program that's going to be more agriculturally based because they're in an agricultural community, but yet they're close enough to St. Louis to understand that some of their students will be moving there, and they just received a National Science Foundation grant to develop a program there, and they're going to be using all the work that we've done in the Geotech Center on the model course and testing some of the stuff for us. So there's lots of success stories of students across the country who have used what we've developed and are better prepared for the workforce than they would have been had the Geotech Center not been in existence. We just want to impact more students, more institutions, because we know there's a real need for this technology out there. So it's not a matter that we have not been successful, but it's that drive to get this knowledge out to everybody, to every institution in the country, so they can make use of it at very small expenses to the institution as part of this, because we know that higher education is under extensive budget cuts. We're raising tuitions across the country, and the institutions are receiving budget cuts from state government. So we need to make this adoption of this new curriculum fairly inexpensive so that they can meet the needs of their communities and their students successfully.
Great. Fantastic. And Dean, any other questions?
Just one more, just because it just popped into my head. You mentioned before about GIS being part of STEM, and that's all good. Is there any work being done within the Geotech Center in GIS in the digital humanities?
That's a toughie to answer because I am doing some work in the areas of history with knowledge from the Geospatial Center. So some of the modules that I am developing right now have a historical approach towards them. And so that historical approach, I'm looking at things such as Sanborn maps of the late 1800s, early 1900s, to look at how communities have changed so the students can understand the changes of their communities.
Right.
So that's how we're teaching georeferencing and heads-up digitalization. We're also doing some work on Civil War battlefields right now, on doing GPS measurements. And again, these are sort of models for that other people can adopt, taking GPS positions, doing panoramic photographs of the battlefield. So the battlefield comes to life, and how does the geography affect that battle? Because what a typical student sees when they look at a Civil War battlefield map, for example, they see a bunch of lines that are static. Well, can we move those lines with time? Yes, we can on a server-based platform. We can move those lines with time. But I'm still seeing just a bunch of lines moving. Until I can actually visualize what that battlefield looked like, I don't know what the men saw. And so one of the things that we're doing is a demonstration project at Gettysburg, along with Pennsylvania America View right now, where we have gone to Gettysburg, done a bunch of panoramic views of the Gettysburg battlefield, so you can actually rotate 360 degrees, and so you can see both what the terrain looks like from using LIDAR data and doing hill shades, as well as actually seeing what the battlefield really looks like today, so you can see that hill there and understand what it was like to charge up that hill, such as Culps's Hill and things like that. So we're trying to bring those type of things. So that's some of the work that we're doing with the humanities. And I guess another thing that we're pushing, it's not really with the humanities, but is if we're teaching geospatial technology and we're counting this as a major factor, how is the institution itself using GIS to make informed decisions? So that's one of the things that myself, Michael Rudabaugh, who was with the first center and still trusted advisor with this new center, Chris Samurgin down at North Georgia, we're all looking at how can we use GIS to make better decisions with our own colleges instead of just teaching it as a technology, but actually using this technology within our own institutions.
Well, that sounds great, because that all of those ideas come together with the idea of GIS and geospatial across the curriculum and then across the institution. So it's really great to hear that the arts and the humanities are part of the vision of the Geotech Center.
One of the visions is, as we put together these full-blown courses, is that everything becomes not just a task to do, but a real reason to do it. So the case studies become contextually based. They also become geographically neutral as best we can do it, because it's going to make a lot better sense to me if I am making measurements in my own community using my own community's data and not using data from some community that I don't recognize. I have no idea what it's like. I cannot go out and do field testing of data unless I'm doing data that resides from my own community. And so making these case studies that are real world case studies, but then making them geographically neutral, that they can be done anywhere in the country using local data, I believe is one of the most important things that we can do as a national center, is to make everything geographically neutral so that it becomes much more involved for the students in their local communities.
Right, and much more authentic learning going on that way.
We're looking at new learning scenarios as we speak. I'm working with the gentleman at Kaskaskia who's in criminal justice, and we're looking at traffic accidents. How can we take traffic accident data that is in the public domain and actually start plotting that and doing some basic cluster analysis to see if there's hot spots where there are lots of accidents and something needs to be changed? You're going to teach lots of different technologies, but we're going to use authentic data from that community to understand what's going on there.
Well, Vince, thanks very much. It's been a really fascinating discussion.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks for joining us for this interview with Vince DiNoto, speaking about the refunding of the Geotech Center by the National Science Foundation. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.